Okay. We have a few new faces here, so just to quickly explain what we're doing in this venue. We do Klol on the Hilchos Shabbos for this season. And this, for the last few weeks, you've been working on the principle of Klal Hayad. Every week is an independent limud, so you're not going to have to follow anything. So just to set everyone up again, Klal Hayad, as we know, is the principle that if you do a Malacha and Shabbos in an abnormal manner, it's going to be Pater. That's the principle of Klal Hayad. Now, 2 weeks ago when we met last, there was we discussed a certain shaila in the poskim, and tonight we're going to go through new issues that come up that will ultimately connect back to last week's discussion. The truth is that even the non-new faces, we never ever expect anyone to remember anything from last time, so we're just going to focus on the new stuff, and as relevant, I'll make references to what we did 2 weeks ago. Okay, so we're gonna do two issues tonight. First issue is a very famous story that took place with a stipler, and we're going to say over the story and then do a halachic analysis of what took place. The stipler, when he was younger, so he was drafted into the Russian army. And there's a famous story that when he was, one day, his division was forced to go to target practice on a Shabbos. And one Shabbos, they decided they're going to go for target practice. And the way it worked is everyone lined up and had to shoot at a target. And once you hit the target, so then you're off the hook for the rest of the day. Now, Rav Asher Weiss brings this story down with an extra detail that I was never aware of. He brings down that the stipler actually had a companion with him when this story took place, that there was another Talmid Chacham with him in the army. And Rav Asher Weiss brings down that the stipler and his companion had a debate over what is the preferred course of action in this situation. Meaning that obviously there's pikuach nefashos, so, you know, that you can't just not listen to the army, not the Russian army back in the day. So they were obviously allowed to shoot the gun. Shooting a gun in principle is a malacha deraisa, malacha of mavir. You're creating sparks and explosions in the gun. That's malacha of mavir. But obviously due to the pikuach nefashos, it was permissible. But the question became, what is the preferred method of minimizing the Shabbos desecration here? We still want to try to minimize the malacha violation. So what's the best course of action in this situation? So Rav Asher Weiss brings down that the stipler and his companion had a debate. The stipler's opinion was that the best thing was to shoot the gun with your left hand. That if you do it with a shinoi, you shoot the gun in a manner that's abnormal. So you're going to downgrade the Isser Deraisa to an Isser Derabanan. And that is the best thing to do in this situation. Although it's true that if you shoot the gun with a shinoi, so mistam, it's going to take you many more attempts to hit the target than if you just shot it normally. But the stipler maintained that that was still the preferred course of action. That was the shita of the stipler. Moving over to his friend, so this other Talmid Chacham was of the opinion that it's better to shoot the gun in the normal way. That if you shoot it with a shinoi, you're going to be taking a lot of attempts before you hit the target. If you shoot it normally, you'll hit the target quicker. And so his friend was of the opinion that the best thing to do was to shoot it normal. So this is the machlokes between the stipler and his friend. And Rav Asher Weiss gives a halachic analysis of this shaila, of what is taka the best way to approach this situation. So that's what we're going to analyze. So Rav Asher Weiss wants to explain that this shaila as to what to do in this situation depends on a chakira that we had last time, 2 weeks ago. So we're not expecting anyone to remember anything, but we're going to just chaz over the chakira from last time, and we'll chaz over what we did with it last time, and then we'll show how Rav Asher Weiss wants to apply it to this situation. So the chakira is like this. We're discussing, once again, this principle of Klal Hayad, that if you do a malacha on Shabbos in a manner that's abnormal, so it's going to be pater. That's the rule of Klal Hayad. And the Rav Asher Weiss points out that there are two approaches that can be taken for how to determine when to apply this patur. When do we consider a malacha performance to be abnormal and pater? And when do we consider it to be normal and chayiv? The two approaches that could be taken. One approach that could be taken is to understand that we assess Klal Hayad based on the specific act that you're performing. Whenever you do a malacha on Shabbos, you're doing a specific activity. And so maybe we assess Klal Hayad by looking at the specific act that you do and asking ourselves, is that activity a normal activity or is that activity an abnormal activity? So that is possibility number one, which is really the intuitive approach for how you should determine Klal Hayad. We look at the specific act that you're doing. Is it normal is it abnormal? The second possibility that one can take for how to approach Kalach HaYad is very abstract, but we'll spell it out and then we'll plug it into a case. Second approach that can be taken is to understand that we don't actually look at the specific act that you're doing. We look at the malacha that you're doing and we trace it back to its original form. We look at the malacha in its original form and we ask ourselves, in its original form, how is this malacha normally done? How is this malacha not normally done in its original form? And that's going to determine Kalach HaYad. Anytime you do a malacha in a way that in its original form would have been abnormal, that's subject to the p'tur of Kalach HaYad. So we have a fundamental chakira now. How do we determine the principle of Kalach HaYad? Do we go based on the specific act that you're doing? That's one possibility. Second possibility is we don't care about the act that you do. We look at the malacha that you're doing. We trace it back to its original form. And in its original form, that's going to tell us how to apply Kalach HaYad. In its original form, when is it normal? When is it abnormal? So that's the chakira. I showed this chakira to Rav Tannenbaum, and he said that you need to tell me the psak halacha in this chakira because there are major nafkaminas lahalacha. So as you're going to see, we're going to go through nafkaminas now, and just there's so many nafkaminas. Rav Tannenbaum said, like, just when you finish this, like, tell me how we paskin. So the first nafkamina, just the chazir from last time in this chakira, was the issue of cutting a cake on Shabbos. Let's say you have a cake with letters on it, a happy birthday cake, and you want to cut the cake up into pieces. So the issue is that you're going to destroy the letters, the H and the A and the P, et cetera, when you cut up the cake. And so should that be a problem of malachas mochik? Mochik is the malacha of erasing. Whenever you destroy letters, so you're fitting into the sphere, you're entering the sphere of malachas mochik. When you cut up the happy birthday cake, maybe that should be a problem of malachas mochik. So this was a major machlokas opposed we had last time as to if this is mutter or us or not on Shabbos. And one of the big points of contention in this machlokas was whether this is considered to be a shinoi. When you cut up the happy birthday cake and you cut it and you destroy the letters, are you doing malachas mochik in a manner that's a shinoi, which will make this a lot less severe, or is it not considered to be a shinoi? So that was an issue we had last time in the poskim. And we explained last time that the hezber in that shaila depends on our chakira. So let's go back to our chakira and plug it into the shaila with the happy birthday cake just to appreciate what's going on with this chakira here. So let's start with the first side in the chakira. The first side is to say that we assess Kalach HaYad based on the specific act that you're doing. We look at the specific act that you're doing and ask ourselves, is it normal? Is it abnormal? So when it comes to the case where you're cutting the happy birthday cake, is this a normal activity? Is this an abnormal activity? And the answer is that this is a perfectly normal activity. This is what you do with a cake. You cut a cake up. Even if it has a writing on it, you cut the cake up. During the week, you cut a cake up. A goy who doesn't care about Hilchos Shabbos cuts a cake up. This is what you do with a cake. It is a perfectly normal activity. So going with the first side of the chakira, the happy birthday cake, cutting it is not going to be a shinoi. There's nothing abnormal about this activity. And we're not going to have any heter of shinoi to help us downgrade the severity of this iser. And that was the shita of the Ksos HaShulchan. So the Shulchan maintained that we did not have the heter of shinoi in this situation. And so we're going to be much more machmir on the shayla of cutting the cake on Shabbos. Moving over to the second side in the chakira. Second side is that we determine the heter of Kalach HaYad when it's abnormal and not. We determine it not based on your specific act that you're doing, but based on the malacha that you're doing. We look at the malacha in its original form and ask ourselves, in its original form, how is it normally done and how is it not normally done? So in this situation, when you cut this cake on Shabbos, what's the malacha we're discussing? Malachas mochek. How is mochek done in its original form? In its original form, malachas mochek is about erasing letters. If you erase a letters and you do it for the sake of rewriting, let's say, that's the original av malacha of malachas mochek, erasing letters for the sake of rewriting. Now, in its original form, malachas mochek typically just removes the letters without the surface. You either erase the letters or you can apply more ink on top of it to blot out the letters. But you don't typically destroy the surface, like rip up the surface with the letters. In its original form, you destroy the letters without destroying the parchment and the surface on which the letters rest. That's what happens in its original form. So in its original form, if you would destroy the surface with the letters, that would be an abnormal activity. That would be Kalach HaYad. So taking the second side in the chakira, that Kalach HaYad, we root it back to its original form and ask ourselves in its original form, how is it normal? How is it abnormal? When you destroy the surface with the letters, that is considered to be abnormal. So plugging that into
the case of the happy birthday cake, when you now cut this cake on Shabbos, although technically you're doing something very normal, but the malacha is considered to be abnormal because you're destroying the surface with the letters. When you cut through the cake, so not only are you cutting the letter, but you're cutting the surface with the letters. The surface itself is being cut up, it's being destroyed. That is considered to be a shinoi. So working with the second side in the chakira, when you cut the happy birthday cake on Shabbos, it's considered to be an abnormal activity, and it is going to be downgraded to being a lot less severe. So that was the shita of the Dagal Mervava. Dagal Mervava was written by the Noda Behuda. We saw last time that he was of the opinion that cutting a cake on Shabbos is permissible. It's perfectly mutter. And one of his main reasons was because it's kalach riyad, it's a shinoi when you cut the cake. Why is it a shinoi? Even though the act is technically normal, the malacha is considered to be abnormal. This is not the normal way you do malachas mochik, and therefore it is downgraded. So that was all just the chazara from last time. Last time we had a chakira for how to define the principle of kalach riyad, and we plugged it into the shayla of happy birthday cake. Is it going to be mutter or usser to cut this happy birthday cake on Shabbos? Now, taking that chakira, so Rav Asher Weiss wants to take this chakira and plug it into this maisa with a stipler and his companion. He wants to contend that as to what to do on Shabbos, in this situation where there's pekuch nefashos and you have to shoot a gun on Shabbos, so as to what the preferred method would be, it's going to depend on this chakira. So let's go through the two sides of the chakira and now plug it into the shayla with the gun. We have, again, this case of pekuch nefashos, that the stipler and his companion were forced to shoot a gun on Shabbos on pain of death. And the question was, what was the preferred method to do in this situation? So let's go through the two tzad and the chakira and see how they produce different results in this shayla. Starting with the first tzad in the chakira. Kalach riyad is assessed based on the specific act that you're doing. The specific act that you're doing, is it normal? Is it abnormal? So when it comes to shooting a gun, if you would shoot a gun with your left hand, talking in terms of a righty, you shoot a gun with your left hand, that is an abnormal activity. That's not the normal way you shoot a gun. You pull the trigger with your right hand, not with your inferior hand. And so working with the first side of the chakira, the p'tur of kalach riyad would apply to this situation. If you would shoot the gun in an abnormal manner, you're going to downgrade this iser from an iser deraisa to an iser derabana. So Rav Asher Weiss says that that was the hesber behind the shita of the stipler. The stipler was understanding that kalach riyad is assessed based on the specific act that you're doing. And so if you shoot the gun with your left hand, you're doing it in an abnormal way, it's going to be pater. And it's much better to do multiple iserim derabanan than a single iser deraisa. If you shoot the gun with in a normal way, yes, you'll hit the target quicker, but that's aser deraisa. If you shoot it in an abnormal manner, it's going to take you more attempts, but that's aser derabanan. It's better to do multiple iserim derabanan than a single iser deraisa. That was the hesber behind the shita of the stipler. Stipler is working the first time in the chakira, and therefore he maintained that was the preferred course of action in this situation. Moving over to the second side in the chakira, the second side is to understand that kalach riyad is not assessed, again, based on the specific act that you're doing. It's based on the original malacha. We look at the malacha that you're doing, we trace it back to its original form, and ask ourselves, in its original form, how is it done normally, and how is it not normally done? So let's plug in the second assessment, the second way of assessing kalach riyad, into the shayla of shooting the gun, and see what comes out. So in this case, you want to shoot a gun with your left hand. Now, what malacha are we discussing? Malacha of ma'avir. When you pull the trigger, you're creating a spark, you're creating an explosion of the gun. That's the malacha of ma'avir. Now, its original form, how is malacha ma'avir normally done? So Rav Asher Weiss says that in its original form, malachas ma'avir is really done just as normally with your left hand as with your right hand. There's a Chayei Adam who spells this out. Chayadim says that with most malachas, we don't apply the p'tur of using your left hand. It's specifically by writing that we say that your left hand is considered to be a shinoi, because that's a significant deviation. When you're writing, it needs a lot of finesse, and so no one writes with their inferior hand, and so that is considered to be a real deviation that's subject to the p'tur of shinoi. But the Chayadim says that with many other malachas, we don't say that your left hand is considered to be a shinoi. That is an explicit chayadam, that the left hand is not a shinoi with many other malachos. And so Rav Asher Weiss takes that to the malacha of ma'avir. He says ma'avir would be the same. If you can light a match just as easily with your left hand as with your right hand, you could turn on the stove just as easily with your left hand, with your right hand. We may habitually do it with the right hand, but it's not like writing. Writing with your left hand is not going to be efficient. It's not going to work. If you turn the stove on with your left hand, it's going to be just as efficient. It's not going to be any issue with it. You strike a match with your left hand. You're not used to doing it, but it's really... There's nothing, it's not a significant, it's not a sufficient deviation. it's not considered to be a shinui. So in its original form, the malacha of Mavir is not going to have a shinui when you light with your left hand. Your left hand is not a shinui with malachas Mavir. So says Rav Asher Weiss, when it comes to shooting the gun, you shoot a gun with your left hand. Although this activity looks abnormal, it's not going to have the heter of kalach rayat, because the malacha of Mavir doesn't have the heter of your left hand. The left hand is not abnormal in its original form. And so this is not going to have the heter of kalach rayat. So Rav Asher Weiss said that that was the hesber behind this other Talmid Chacham. The other Talmid Chacham felt that there's no benefit to using your left hand than your right hand, because either way, it's aser deraisa. If you shoot the gun with your right hand, it's aser deraisa. If you shoot the gun with your left hand, it's aser deraisa. So why would you shoot with your left hand and have more isurim deraisa? It's better to shoot it normally, hit the target quicker, and have less isurim deraisa. So that was Rav Asher Weiss's halachic analysis of this story with the stiplers. Let me just chazer over what we did so far. We finished part one of tonight's shir. Let's just chazer what we did so far, and then we'll stop for questions. So again, just to quickly sum up, we spelled out the story with the stipler and his companion, a real life story about what to do. They had to cook the fashas. They had to shoot a gun. What's the best way to shoot the gun? And Rav Asher Weiss is explaining, is telling our fakir from 2 weeks ago about how to assess kalach rayad. Kalach rayad assessed based on the specific act that you're doing, or based on the malach in its original form. Our first nafkina from last time was the issue of cutting the happy birthday cake on Shabbos. That was telling this chakira. And our second nafkina now is the issue of shooting a gun on Shabbos. If you shoot a gun with your left hand, is that going to be putter or not? According to the first side of the chakira, it is going to be putter. This is an abnormal activity. According to the second side, the original malach of Mavir is not going to have the p'tur of kalach rayad with your left hand, and it would not have the p'tur of kalach rayad. Just to say the ending of the story before we stop for questions. So there's a very famous ending to the story, which is that the stipler shot the gun with his left hand and he hit the target with the first attempt. And his companion shot the gun normally and took him a few shots. I showed this to Rav Tannenbaum, who's cracking up. He literally was cracking up. He said, I don't believe the story. So Dotan and I both showed it to him. We said, Rebbe, we both heard the story from many sources. So he was like, wow, amazing. Okay, yeah.
So is using the left hand to most malachos not considered kalachriya because it's not considered unusual, because it's not
effective? Ben is asking, why is your left hand not considered to be kalachriya with many other malachos? It's not a sufficient deviation. You might feel like you don't usually do it, but it's not a sufficient deviation from the standard practice. So that's you're asking nuanced questions, which is a fair question. You know, with your left hand, when you write, it's inefficient, it's not going to be as good. As opposed to other malachos, it's more awkward, but it's not really inefficient. The exact details, it's an explicit chayyadim. So it's a fair question, though. Yeah, Mordechai.
Sounds like this idea of the left hand could be telling another fakir that he brought up, whether it's a versus.
Yeah, okay. So that's okay. So Mordechai is making a phenomenal point, just as it is like from 3 or 4 weeks ago. I'm afraid to pull that on the chevra here, but it's a very beautiful analysis. Okay, it's a fair point. Okay. Daniel, did you have a question?
I'll have to think about it. I'm not sure.
Okay, fine. Okay. Moving over to part two of tonight's shir. So part two of tonight's shir, we're going to discuss a shayla, that interesting shayla comes up in the postgame. Hopefully it's not sonogia for too many people, but the principle behind the shayla, there are a lot of very fundamental yesodos that come out of analyzing the shayla that are very much kedai to approach. The question is, the poskim had the following question. Cigarettes apparently typically have printing on the paper. I wouldn't know. I haven't really seen them up close. But apparently there's printing, like letters and words that are printed on the cigarette from the manufacturer. And so many poskim deal with the question of, is it permissible to smoke these cigarettes on Yontif in light of the fact that as you smoke the cigarette, the paper is going to get burnt up, and you're going to destroy the letters. So we have these cigarettes that apparently have writing on them. There's writing on the cigarettes. As you're smoking away, the paper starts to crumble and gets burnt up. You're going to burn up the writing on the cigarette. Is that a problem of malaches mochek? Mochek, again, malacha of erasing, malacha of destroying. You're destroying the letters here. This is a shaila asked to many, many poskim. What's the halacha in this situation? Yeah. Penny's asking about Derek Tashmir show. So there's a lot of analysis to go on. Yeah, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, we would allow smoking if you're going to say it's because Davar Shavu Chol Nefesh. Wouldn't that?
Oh, okay. You're hit. So let's go through it slow. You're asking good. Let's, you know too much. Let's Okay. We're going to go through step by step, and I'm sure at some point you're not going to like our analysis. Okay, fine. Now, before we get into the nuances of this Shaila, which, you know, there are a lot of details in the Mochek aspect, as Daniel was alluding to, there's a more basic question which first has to be asked, which is it permissible to smoke on Yontif? Before we get into is it permissible to destroy the writing on a cigarette on Yontif, we first have to know if it's permissible to smoke on Yontif. So we're going to spend a few minutes now going through that Shaila. And as I say, hopefully it's not so halach l'maisa, but it's going to we're going to see a lot of fundamental yesodos that could come out of analyzing the Shaila that will impact on other issues like showering on Yontif and other very practical issues. So we're going to go through the Shaila smoking on Yontif. And if you see a really tough soldier, so you could also now know, you know, it's a Shaila how to handle the Psak Halacha in terms of the Shaila. Yeah.
Thinking about this, like when you're smoking a cigarette, you're doing it in a way that it's a shiur in itself.
Okay, so, yeah, good. So we're going to, Ravadi makes that point, you should know. So we're going to get there in Mitzvah Shem. But there are a lot of steps to the Shaila. So Baruch Hashem, a lot of Chaver knows the analysis here. So let's go through the steps here. So smoking on Yontif. What's the halacha with smoking on Yontif? Next week we'll do vaping on Yontif, you know? fine.
Is it limited to smoke a cloud?
Okay, good. So we keep going deeper, but Mitzvah Shem, we have time, we'll get to that. But let's start with smoking on Yontif, even though you're right, that would be the first Shaila, but fine. So let's first set down the basic principles for doing malach on Yontif, and then we'll see what the post can say about the issue of smoking on Yontif. So we begin with a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah tells us that it is permissible to do malach on Yontif when it's done for ochel nefesh purposes. That although generally you can't do malach on Yontif, but when it's done for the sake of ochel nefesh, for food preparation, then it is permissible to do malacha on Yontif. Now, there's a Mishnah in Beitza, I think it's on Yebez Lamed Aleph, where Beis Hillel says, a famous expansion to this heter, that once we allow you to do a certain select few malachos for the sake of food preparation on Yontif, like bishul to cook the food, mavir lighting a fire, etc. Once we let you do them for the sake of food preparation, you can also do them for other purposes as well. Even if you do them for non-food preparations, that's also permissible. This is known as the principle of mitoch. Mitoch shehutra letzorech, hutra nami shelo letzorech. Once the Torah permitted certain malachos for the sake of ochel nefesh, for food preparation, you can even do them for any purpose. Even for other purposes, it's also permissible. So this is our big hatcher to do malach on Yontif, based on Stam, the Pasuk in the Torah, and Beis Hillel's expansion. Certain malachas are done for food preparation, can be done for any purpose whatsoever. Now, moving over to the Gemara in Ksubis. Gemara in Ksubis on Zayin Menal sets down a major limitation to the heter of doing malach on Yontif, as Daniel alluded to, which is extremely nogel halacha. Gemara in Ksubis tells us that it's only permissible to do malach on Yontif when it involves something that is shava l'chol nefesh, that is a universal activity, that things that everyone does. When it comes to things that everyone does, that is permissible to do on Yontif. But if you want to do something that's not shava l'chol nefesh, that you yourself want to do it, but other people don't do this, it is going to be prohibited. That is usher to do on Yontif. The case there that comes up is the case of mugmar. Mugmar is when you want to burn incense. So burning incense is the malacha of mavir. Mavir, lighting a fire, is one of the malachas we permit on Yontif, because you need to do it for food preparation. So you're allowed to light a fire on Yontif. But the Gemara says you can't do mugmar. You can't light incense on Yontif, because this is not shava l'chol nefesh. It's not something that everyone does. It's not a normal thing people do. Certain select people do it, and therefore it is usher to do on Yontif. So that's the Gemara in Ksubis now, giving us a major limitation to the heter of doing malach on Yontif, that you can only do things that are universal shava l'chol nefesh activities. You can't do personalized acts that other people don't do. And now this Gemara Ksubis now raises the major question, which is, so how do we determine what's considered to be shava l'chol nefesh and what's not considered to be shava l'chol nefesh? What are the criteria to determine when is considered to be a universal activity and when is considered to be a non-universal activity? So that's the major question that we need to analyze to know how to apply this principle halacha l'maisa. Any questions? We're good. Okay. So the Gemara in Ksubis, so Tosis and Shabbos, Alamites and Aves, gives us certain criteria for how to make this determination, how to figure out what's considered to be universal that we can do, how to figure out what's not universal that's also to do. Tosis there in Shabbos, Alamites and Aves, points out what he considers to be a stira. Tosis there comes up with two activities. One of them is mutter to do on Yantav. One of them is also to do on Yantav. And wants to know what is the distinction. What are these two activities? What's the stira? So on the one hand, Tosis there is medayik from the Gemara there in Shabbos that it is mutter to take a steam bath on Yantav. Zaya, a steam bath, babanya, is that what it's called? Babanya. Is we need Moshe Losef here. Is mutter to, you know what I'm talking about? No? Okay, is mutter to do on Yantav. That is a Gemara there in Shabbos. It's mutter to take a steam bath midaraisa on Yantav. On the other hand, Tosis there is medayik from the Gemara, from the Mishnah there, that it is usher to take a regular bath on Yantav. A regular full body bath is usher to do on Yantav. So Tosis wants to know, what's the difference? What's the difference between a steam bath and regular bath? What's the chilek? So Tosis sets down the following distinction. He says that when it comes to taking a steam bath on Yantav or steam bath, why do people take a steam bath? So back in the day, this was done for health purposes. That Zaya was done for health reasons. In contrast to that, when it comes to taking a regular bath, so apparently back in the day, regular bath was not done for health reasons. Regular bath was done for pleasure, for tainuk. That's what Tosis says, is the chilek between a steam bath and a regular bath. So says Tosis that when it comes to activities that are done for health purposes, that is shovel chol nefesh. Everyone has to do things that are healthy. Everyone does things that are done for health purposes. That's shovel chol nefesh. That is permissible. So that's why Zaya is mutter on Yantif. Taking a steam bath was a healthy thing to do. It was done for health purposes. That's shovel chol nefesh. That is permissible. In contrast to that, says Tosis, when it comes to taking a regular bath, things that are done for pleasure, so that which you enjoy, somebody else doesn't enjoy. Pleasure is much more subjective. I don't know if this is always the case, but in this case, as Tosfos, a regular bath which is done for pleasure is not considered to be universal. Pleasure is subjective. You might enjoy it. Somebody else might not enjoy it. Your roommate probably will enjoy it, but whatever the case may be, it's done for pleasure purposes, and so therefore, it is prohibited. So this is the criteria Tosis is now giving us. Tosis is giving us a certain criteria for how to figure out when is something considered to be universal or not. Things that are done for health purposes are universal. Things that are done for pleasure are very often not universal and are going to be usur. So these are the basic principles for when you're allowed to do malach on yantav. So let's just chazer the principles quickly, and then we'll get into the shaila of smoking on yantav. So once again, we have three basic points just to set up the basic rules of smoke of doing malach on yantav. Point one is that the Torah tells us you could do things malachos for food preparation. Ochel nefesh is mutter on yantav, and Beis Hillel says that mitoch, once you could do ochel nefesh, you could do anything. Any of these malachos, these select malachos that involve food preparation, could be done for any purpose on yantav. It's perfectly permissible. Step two, though, Gemara in Ksubis tells us major limitation only if it's done for shavuot ochel nefesh purposes. It has to be done for a purpose that's considered to be universal. If it's not universal, it is usher to do. So that is step two. And step three is, so how do we determine what's considered to be universal, what's not considered to be universal? Says Tosis and Shabbos, it depends. Things that are done for health purposes are universal. Things that are done for pleasure are not necessarily universal. So that's why a steam bath is permissible. That's why a regular bath is prohibited. So these are the original sources on basic rules of when you can and cannot do mulacha on yantav. So now the question becomes, so smoking. So is smoking permissible on yantav or not? Okay, so we have a Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua and Shabbos on that Tosfos. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I didn't mean to be on.
All good. It keeps me on my feet. Pnei Yeshua and Shabbos on Lamites Aveis on that Tosfos is Medayik, everything we just said, that what are the criteria for when you can do things on Yontif? Is it done for health purposes? Is it done for pleasure? Health purposes is permissible. Pleasure is prohibited. Says the Pnei Yeshua, smoking is healthy. It's done for health purposes. It's good for digestion. It's good for your appetite. It's done for health purposes. It is therefore perfectly permissible on yantav. So this is an explicit Pnei Yeshua on that Tosis and Shabbos. it is mutter to smoke on yantar, because smoking is done for health purposes. It fits into the health category, and therefore it is mutter. And Rav Yaakov Emden says the same thing in the Sefer Mor Uktzia. Rav Yaakov Emden says as well that smoking is healthy, and therefore it is permissible to do on yantar. He even goes so far as to ask that smoking is so healthy, maybe it should be called refuah. You can't do things you can't take medicine on Yom Tov and Shabbos. Maybe smoking should be refuah. No, he says, I don't mean to go so far as to say that it's refuah, just a healthy thing to do, but it's not a medicine. So therefore it's perfectly permissible to do on Yom Tov. And he quotes an incident. He says that his father, the Chacham Tzvi, when he was younger, was machmir. Chacham Tzvi used to refrain from smoking on Yom Tov until a big gadol told him that you're acting inappropriately, you're causing yourself anguish, it's Simchas Yom Tov, it is perfectly permissible to smoke on Yom Tov. And so the Chacham Tzvi changed his habits and he smoked on Yom Tov. So these are the original sources on smoking on Yom Tov. The original sources say that it is permissible, it is a healthy thing to do.
Wait, what year is it now?
Okay, good question. So the Pnei Yeshua lived in the 1700s. Interesting fact, the Besht, the Baal Shem Tov, was the Shochet in the community of the Pnei Yeshua. So if you're Lifisher Hasidus, you can now date this. Pnei Yeshua lived in the 1700s, and the Baal Shem Tov was a Shochet in the community of the Pnei Yeshua. And Rav Yaakov Emden, if you want to date that also, so Chacham Tzvi, Rav Yaakov Emden also lived in the 1700s. The Gra was very young when the Rav Yaakov Emden, Rav Yonasan Aibchitz debate was taking place. When that debate was taking place, the Gra was in these younger years. This is all 1700s. Fine. Okay, so now the question becomes, what do we say nowadays? Nowadays that the FDA has a different opinion on smoking, that they're not such a big fan of smoking, you go to the doctor's office, you see all these cool statistics about strokes and lung cancer and all that stuff. So what is the halacha nowadays when it comes to smoking on Yom Tov? So we have on this a little bit of back and forth between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Avadia. Starting with the shita of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo writes that nowadays that it's considered to be unhealthy to smoke on Yom Tov, it's very possible it is going to be usher to do. This is Efsher, that nowadays it is usher to smoke on Yom Tov, since the scientific perspective has changed in terms of the health benefits. So now we're going to now have to say that it's not called a healthy thing to do, and therefore it is usher to smoke on Yom Tov. That is what Rav Shlomo Zalman brings down in the Mincha Shlomo. Rav Avadia, however, comes up with a heter. He wants the Bimalan Tzvos, so he comes up with a heter to permit smoking on Yom Tov. He says like this. He says that it's true. Smoking is very much considered to be unhealthy, lung cancer, stroke, all that stuff. Not the kind of things you want on your resume. However, says Rav Avadia, although there are many detrimental effects of smoking, there are still certain health benefits. There are certain health benefits in smoking. That which Pnei Yeshua said is technically true. It does help with digestion. It does help with the person's appetite. Sometimes if a person's going through certain, chemotherapy, things like that, certain forms of smoking could be beneficial for a person. So there are certain health benefits to smoking. So Rav Avadia says that smoking is a mixed bag. There are pros and cons. There are serious health, defects, the things that very serious unhealthy components to smoking, but there are certain health benefits to smoking. So says Rav Avadia, that is sufficient to be classified as healthy and permissible. We said that things are permissible when they fit into the category of health purposes. So as a Rav Avadia, since it's a mixed bag, there are pros and cons. The fact that there are some health benefits is sufficient to classify this as a healthy thing and to make it permissible. He gives a mashal, he says that when it comes to medicine, so every medicine is good for one condition and bad for another condition, like side effects. Don't take this if you're X, Y, Z, and G. Every medicine is good for one thing, bad for another thing. That's how it works when it comes to healthy things. Nothing healthy is universal, except for the Carlson Gabbies after this year. But everything else is not universally healthy. So says Rav Avadia, smoking is no different. There are pros and cons. It's considered to be healthy, and therefore it is permissible to smoke on Yom Tov. So that was part one of the Shaila. We'll stop in the second for a question. That was part one of the Shaila. We were analyzing the Shaila of smoking on Yom Tov. So we first set down the basic klalim for when you could do malach on Yom Tov. And then we plugged into the issue of smoking. We saw that the original sources had said that smoking is healthy and therefore it's permissible. But nowadays, the question is, how does the halakhic, you know, impact now that science has changed? So what's the halakhic perspective? Shlomo Zalman says, Efshar, that it's going to be Asr. Ravadia says that it is Mutter. Yeah.
Yep. So even though the net, I guess the end goal is that the negative effects far outweigh any positive effects, Ravadia still saying
Yosef is asking. Yosef,
there's full medicine that, like,
yeah, yeah.
Pops out of his death.
Yeah. So Yosef is asking that, you know, the negative effects of smoking so outweigh the positive effects that, you know, we shouldn't consider this to be a healthy thing. Like I say, if you speak to the tough Israeli soldiers, they might have a difference of opinion about, like, yeah, right. It's not going to kill me. It's not bad for me. But I'm saying, the bottom line is you're making a fair point. It could be that that would be the lumbest point of Shlomo Zalman Shito. And if you want to dig into the analysis a little bit more, Shlomo Zalman might be holding that very nice set of two components. But in this case, you know, one component is so overwhelmingly true that it outweighs. But this is Ravadi's limit plus. He wants him to learn his plus on smoking. So this is his, the way he breaks it down. Yeah, Daniel.
Maybe this is Shaykh part two, but is the assumption that when something is Davar Shava Chol Nefesh, that it wipes out any malacha that's associated with that particular activity?
Yeah, so, well, right now, in terms of smoking, we're talking about the Ma'avir Shabbat for now. So the Ma'avir Shabbat, we'll get to both in a second. Yeah, you're asking good.
Okay. Now, I guess, does it matter that that nicotine is actually an appetite suppressant and it works like a stimulant, like cocaine, and therefore that peace in our body is...
Yeah. I was bothered by that. Yeah, I read all these stories about, like, how the Gnome used to smoke because they had no food.
So yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's an appetite suppressant.
Yeah. So I don't know what they smoked back in the 1700s. You know,
it's the same. It's the same tobacco. It has the same nicotine.
Okay, fine. I hear you.
Okay.
Sorry, what's that? Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. So these are good points. These are very good points. I'm not so familiar.
Most addictive sugar.
Sugar? I hear. Okay. Fine. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay, can I mention it for you?
Please.
Smoke addicts,
right? Yeah.
He's addicted, but he doesn't want to be addicted. Does he follow Ben Yosef? Because would say that you could do it out of health reasons, but he doesn't want to be in that.
Okay, so Ellie's asking an interesting question. He's saying that Ravadi Yosef told him is that there's some healthy aspects to it. But most people who smoke are probably not doing it because they find it healthy. Probably doing because they're not really so concerned about the health reasons, and you know, somehow or another they got addicted to it. So that's a fair question. Would Ravadia's heter apply in this situation? Ravadia basically emphasizes that the heter is for people who do it regularly, because when you do it regularly, you reach a point where it's so uncomfortable and you're so addicted, unfortunately, that it's painful and uncomfortable. So these also factor into the health reasons. Whereas, like he says, like someone who do it once in a while, so that he says that would not be okay. But if someone did it regularly, so the fact that he's so addicted to it would play into the health purposes as well. Fine. Fine. So moving over to part two of the Shilas. Now the question becomes, so working with Rav Avadia Shita that it's mutter to smoke on Yontif, what do we do about the Shila of Mochek? That apparently it's standard for the manufacturer of these cigarettes to put, camel on the label. I don't know what they write, but whatever they manufacture, they put on the cigarette itself, it's apparently standard. Is that a problem of Malachas Mopik? So Rav Avadia applies the Dogma Revolva that we had last time. So that's why part two of tonight's share is also connected to last week's discussion, two weeks ago's discussion. So let's just remind ourselves of the Dogma Revolva, and we'll show how Rav Avadia applies it to the case with the cigarette. So 2 weeks ago, we were discussing the issue of cutting a cake on Shabbos, this happy birthday cake on Shabbos. And the shita of the Dogma Revolva, who was the Noda de Behuda, his shita was that it was permissible. It's perfectly permissible to cut the happy birthday cake on Shabbos. Why is it mutter? You're destroying the letters. Let that be Malachas Mochek. So the Dogma Revolva comes with three different heterim. There are three mitigating factors that apply in the situation. And in combination, he feels that it's perfectly permissible. The first mitigating factor is the principle of davar she'eino miskaven, that when you cut the cake, you're not intending to destroy the letters and to do malachas mopek, you're just intending to cut the cake. The fact that the letters are being destroyed is a consequence. It's occurring as an undesirable consequence. That's subject to the heter of davar she'eino miskaven. Now, yes, it's inevitable. It's what we call a psik ratio, but it's a psik ratio delo echbasla. You don't care about the secondary effects. And that is one major mitigating factor in this situation. Mitzvah psik ratio will be our next principle after we finish Kalachariyat. But so that is heter number one. Heter number two of the Dagam Ravava is the principle of mekalkel, that if you do any malacha and Shabbos in a destructive manner, that also knocks it down from being deraisa to only being derabbanan. When you cut up the happy birthday cake, you destroy the letters. There's nothing productive being accomplished by malachas mochek. The destruction of the letters is not achieving anything. There's nothing productive coming about. It's purely destructive. And so we have the heter of mekalkel. And finally, you have a third heter by the happy birthday cake, which is the principle of kelach rayad. The Dagam Ravava felt when you cut the cake and you destroy the letters, that is kelach rayad. You're doing malachas mochek in a manner of kelach rayad. And so therefore, that's a third heter in this situation. So we have three different mitigating factors when it comes to the case with the cake. First of all, we have the heter of Darvish and Miskavin. Second of all, we have the heter of Mikalkel. Third of all, we have the heter of Kalach Rayad. In combination, he posked that it was perfectly permissible. So says Rav Avadia, the same thing comes to the case with a cigarette. When you smoke the cigarette and you destroy the letters on the cigarette, you have all three heterim. First of all, we have Darvish and Miskavin. You're not having Kavana to destroy the letters. You're just doing it because you want to smoke. And as a consequence, the letters are being destroyed. You don't care about the consequence. It's a psik ratio, the lo echbasle. Second of all, we have the heter of mekalkel. This is a destructive activity. You're destroying the letters. Nothing is being accomplished. Nothing is being achieved by this act of mochek. So we have the heter of mekalkel. And finally, we have the heter of shinoi, that when you destroy the letters by smoking, you are destroying the letters in an abnormal manner. As Elliot pointed out, you're doing it with your mouth. I don't know if you remember, you pointed it out. And so it's being done in an abnormal way. So in combination, Rav Avadia paskens that it is permissible. So with that, we're just about done. I just want to quickly chazer what we did tonight and then point out one last halacha l'maisa. So let me just find, yeah, Daniel, you had a question?
Oh, so I mean, we mentioned the possibility of mitoch applying here. So mitoch, if I understand it correctly, just implies that all malachas associated with whatever ochel nefesh thing you're doing should be subsumed within that activity. So shouldn't that in and of itself apply to the smoking issue? And then
okay, so the problem is, okay, good question. So I think everyone heard that. The mitoch only applies to malachas ochel nefesh, malachas that are done for food preparation. So mochek is not typically a malachas ochel nefesh. Lighting a fire, that part of the smoking, Shaila, is certainly a malachas ochel nefesh that's done for food preparation. So that's going to have mitoch. But mochek, the mochek part of the shayla, is not going to have mitoch because that's not a malachas ochel nefesh.
Right, but when you're inhaling on the cigarette, you're increasing the flame, right? Not, and therefore you're actively burning this thing.
You're right. So you are burning it, but it's a malachas mochek though. It's destroying letters. So the mochek part of the shayla is not going to mitoch. Is not going to help us out there. But okay, let me just chazer because it's a fair question. So just to sum up, we have two parts of tonight's shir. In part one, we analyzed the maisa with the stifler and his companion and how to shoot the gun on Shabbos in the case of Piguch Nefashos. We showed that it came down to the Chakira in Kalach Rayad, how to assess Kalach Rayad based on the specific act that you're doing, or based on the definition of the Malacha. And we showed how that was also connected to the happy birthday cake situation. When you cut the cake on Shabbos, is that going to be a shinoi or not? In part two, so we dealt with the shayla of smoking on Yontif. We first set down the principles of doing malach on Yontif in general. The general rules are that you could do a malach as ochel nefesh as long as it's done for universal purposes. It has to be shabbat ochel nefesh. But if it's done for personalized purposes, it is usher to do. And Tosas gave us certain criteria for how to determine that when it comes to health purposes, health reasons, Tosas says, is shabbat ochel nefesh, whereas things that are done for pleasure are not shabbat ochel nefesh. And based on that, so we saw that the original source said that it's mutter to smoke on Yontif because it's a healthy thing to do. But the question was whether it applies nowadays. Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Rav Avadia had a machlokas on that issue. Assuming like a Rav Avadia that it's mutter to smoke on Yontif, the next question becomes this whole shayla of mochek. Do you have to worry about the writing on the cigarette? So Rav Avadia says that it's mutter based on the Dagam Ravava from last time, uses all three heterim to permit smoking on Yontif. So one last detail, the question Mordechai had asked, is it mutter to smoke stam? So the Tzitz Eliezer has a third opinion. His opinion is that not only is also smoke on Yontif, is also smoke always because it is really unhealthy. So for those of you who have all the propaganda from going up of not being into smoking, so the Tzitz Eliezer paskens that it is also to smoke in general. But he says, although he makes a very funny point, he says, although I hold that you really shouldn't smoke at all, it's really also to do, but you can't bring this as a reason for the people that smoke on Yontif, because people that smoke on Yontif also smoke during the week. So to the extent that during the week they don't care about the reason, the lung cancer and all that stuff. So then on Yom Tov also they don't care about the lung cancer and all that stuff. So it just refined to Yosef's point a little bit. Yosef was saying that don't the negatives outweigh the positives so much? So Cecilia says, for this guy who's willing to smoke during the week, so he obviously is displaying that he doesn't care about all those negative effects. So you can't tie into this guy on Yom Tov don't smoke. When he says to you, if I smoke during the week, I'm showing you I don't care about all the health issues. So on Yom Tov, that doesn't apply to me. So that's the point of the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay, Shkayev, thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful Shabbos.